from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Okay, tell us how your rest was last night, Ursula.
It was excellent. Listener Lori sent me a message at 9:20 and said, Ursula, it's 9:20, time to go to bed.
So did you see the message?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you saw it.
About an hour later.
Yeah.
But I had a good night's sleep, and I just want to thank all of you who were concerned about me, and I made a concerted effort, and it actually worked.
Do you think that... Okay, well, let me ask you this. Was it hard to do it last night?
But one of the things that was comforting is that I looked at the rundown that Chef had sent, and my brief scanning of all the other news sites that I usually look at, it was like, you know what? We're in good shape. I can go to bed.
Right.
So that helped. How's that?
I was going to give you a recipe. I probably shouldn't share it on the air.
Okay. I'll save you. Hey, we're going to be doing a deep dive on all the top stories of the day.
Yes.
You can also count on going through a whole range of emotions as you listen. Mm-hmm. But I want to just remind you that we cannot do the show without you. So our Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line is 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. If you're not into the texting thing, you can also catch us on our G and Ursula Show Facebook page. Or you can listen to our podcast at the end of the show.
Does Chef really send a rundown at night?
Yes.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Top stories of the day.
Oh, my God.
We can tell.
And therein lies the problem.
I was just trying to give you the recipe. Top stories.
That should tell you why I don't get sleep.
Top stories of the day brought to you by Wayscar 40, Susu in Auburn.
Near SeaTac Airport yesterday afternoon, police arrested 46 people who were blocking the expressway leading to SEA as part of a nationwide day of protest pushing for an end to the Israel-Hamas war. Some of those protesters were laying across the roadway with their arms locked together using tubes. This is a tactic known as the sleeping dragon. This went on for hours, forcing some travelers to actually get out of their cars and walk the rest of the way to the airport terminal. This woman tells Cairo 7 TV she actually missed her flight.
It's very frustrating because I'm here traveling by myself, so, you know, I don't have any place to stay for the night. I don't have a car right now, so trying to just, you know, figure out what I'm going to do.
Although the airport expressway was not reopened until 6 p.m., this driver said he actually supports these kinds of demonstrations.
Traffic is not the problem. The problem is we have problems in another country that we need to focus on.
FlightAware shows SeaTac had nearly 120 flight delays and 4 cancellations as of last night.
You lost me yesterday.
You being the protesters.
Yeah, y'all lost me. You all know, we've discussed, travel delays and when flights are canceled. We've had this discussion before, Ursula, how it's not just the flights that are canceled. Those are moments missed. People have missed. I'm very sensitive to this topic because you remember in 2021, I missed a funeral of my namesake back in Chicago because during that time the Omicron variant was gone and all the flights were being delayed. So I never was able to go and go to that funeral. When I say missed opportunities and missed moments, when people are going to the airport, usually something you're going somewhere, whether it's a spring break, whether it's to go see a family member, visit loved ones, a vacation for yourself, there's going to be something. And sometimes you need to make that connection somewhere. You need to be able to, because if you miss that connection, now you're going to be having to stay there. And not everyone has money for a hotel. And even if you are reimbursed, you still miss the time. They lost me with that. Now,
because of the connection to SeaTac Airport, what about if it's on a freeway? There's missed connections, missed opportunities there if you're blocking a freeway.
I want to just talk about yesterday.
Okay.
And the whole airport thing happened in Chicago and O'Hare and all over the country, and specifically here at SCA, they lost me. Of course, we know what it is about. No doubt about it. And if the goal, which the goal wins, because we are talking about it on our top stories of the day. And I'm saying for you, for someone like me, who I understand why you're doing it, right? I do, no doubt. And we've had this discussion, and I've loosely kind of given my opinion. I talked about it when they stopped it on the freeway, and I said to you, Ursula had somewhere to be. I would have been mad. I admitted that to you. But yesterday, when I saw that, I said, nope, I'm out. You lost me on this topic.
I mean, I will say, I agree with you. I mean, in my opinion, you have a right to voice your opinions. You have a right to protest. But when you block traffic or you your protest negatively impacts so many other people's lives, your message is lost, I believe, and it will not be received. Well, that all said, you know what they argue? They say your little inconvenience is nothing compared to what children and women and men and innocent people are dealing with in Gaza. And this needs to end. And so your little inconvenience is mild compared to what is happening over there.
When you say, see, it's interesting, your, in air quotes,
that's what,
your,
that's what they would argue.
I know. Your little inconvenience. Again, if someone would say to me, my little inconvenience when I miss my uncle's funeral, I can't say this, but I would really want to do something to you. I'd be really upset if you said that to me. Everyone's little inconvenience, if you will, it is subjective. Like, oh, sorry, Ursula, you weren't able to take your boys and you missed a day of Disneyland. Sorry for your little inconvenience, or sorry for your little inconvenience. Like, that's not the stuff that people want to hear. And again, when you lose me, like, I would say that I am someone, I'm not saying that I'm very liberal or anything like that, but I'd say that I really have a higher threshold than a lot, right? And so if you lose me, I think that's where you've messed up.
But the other argument that I often hear is so much of change that we see today is a result of these kinds of protests. Protests in the past were not convenient. I mean, life was different then. But civil rights protests were not about making it convenient for people. How do you respond to that?
I think that was happening here at home. Now, the thing is about what's going on in the world. We have done such a bad job, if you will, of paying attention pre-October 7th of 2023, right? The things that's going on there, they have been going on for a long time. I don't want to get caught. And what I'm not going to do is, you ask me about something and you ask me about civil rights and all those things, I'm not even going to have that argument or that response to that. I'm not doing that. I'm going to talk about this right here. I don't compare what's going on here in this country, what's going on over in their country. Like, Me personally, I can't do anything about it. So I'm going to specifically talk about what's happening right now. And as a matter of fact, what's really going on over there, our president, our government, what are we doing about what's going on over there? Right? And so is it putting pressure on our government to come in and do something? Is it putting pressure on them to have conversations about a ceasefire? All I know is every time I look at this topic and every time it comes up, it's almost like, ooh, this is a really, really sticky situation.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a simple question on this? Do we as citizens, and does the United States, have a responsibility for what happens with the bombs in the weapons that we sell to other countries and continue to sell to other countries? Does what happens over there matter over here? Does our foreign policy matter here? Absolutely it does. I mean, if you look at the history of U.S. intervention abroad, one of the reasons why we're on the brink of a nuclear-armed Iranian state is because the U.S. helped overthrow the last democratic government of Iran. And like, if you sure. think that we don't have a moral responsibility for what happens with our bombs, then why would you ever say Ethan Crumbly's parents should be in jail? They gave that kid a gun.
So in terms of this particular protest, are you okay with them doing the tactics that they used yesterday?
I think it's a great starting point for a conversation. That's what I think.
Is it resulting in conversations?
We're having it right now, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
No, yeah, yeah.
Do you
yeah,
think it's happening in other areas other than radio talk shows?
No. Let's talk about that. Ursula, you almost made me make some swear words. I'm glad you're saying that. No, it is not. It is not. And as a matter of fact, in this country right here, if we want to keep it a stack, keep it a buck here on this discussion, we as a country, we really don't have a real discussions. Discussions really aren't had about what's going on in other countries unless it involves and connects the United States. Unless it's our men and women that are actually going to war right now. But other than in the media, other than in the conversations on the radio right here, no. Everyday conversations and discussions, no. It is not being had. You want to know why they're not being had? They're not being had because it is a very sticky topic, a topic that did not just start on October 7th. A topic that if you're going to talk about this, you have to talk about all of it, all the context, and it gets deep. And you want to know whose hands aren't clean? The United States of America in this discussion. So when you have these discussions, you got to go deep into the topic, and you got to go below the surface on that.
Yeah. Okay, text us, 888-973-5476, 888-973 Cairo. We're going to move on to the next story. This one also gets me very passionate. A 16-year-old accused of killing a 15-year-old Renton boy last weekend was already on home monitoring for another shooting when the latest incident happened. So prosecutors argued for no bail, pointing out that he was already awaiting trial on another case.
In this case, he gained access to a firearm, specifically as law enforcement noted, a ghost gun would be untraceable and shot and killed the victim, who's 15 years old.
The boy's attorney wanted him to be released on home monitoring again, but the judge set bail at $1 million.
The court has no reason to believe that he's going to comply with this court's orders in a new case when there has been no indication of compliance in the prior ones.
So far, there's no word on how the two actually knew each other or a possible motive in this case. But again, this was a young man who was already on home monitoring, and now he gets hold of another gun and is allegedly shoots a kid and kills him.
Hey, Ursula, are we all tired of hearing about teens involved in crime?
Yes.
Okay. Are we ready to do something about it? Right? That's the question. And the reason why I'm bringing that up, because I want to set this up right here. 70% of kids drop out of youth sports by the age of 13, a topic that we talked about on this show maybe 2 to 3 months ago. As a matter of fact, high school sports participants have fallen all the way. We've had the lowest amount of kids playing sports since 2007. We know that travel leagues, and we've had you all text in and tell us how much you're paying. Just Brock Hewitt right now was telling me they're in Colorado. It's $10,000 for his son to play on a youth baseball team, okay? The reason why I'm bringing that up, I'm bringing that up because it's very important. It's very important because what's important is that we are always talking about the cost of living here. We are always talking about things that are so expensive. I just want us all to know something. Our youth, our teens are not busy anymore. They don't have anything to do. Idle time causes for problems. Even bored, idle adults that don't have structure can get in trouble. So if we as a community and society and here, especially here locally, if we are really going to be serious about doing better in the future, then we need to figure out how to get our youth being able to participate in after-school activities. So whether it's sports or something else. Mm-hmm. But you can't just expect parents to have $5,000 laying around or $3,500 laying around to do these things. So just remember this. The next time you complain about these teens and you're like, oh my goodness, what's going on with these teens? Just remember, when we were teens, it cost our parents about $50 to do things after school, not $3,500 or $5,000.
I think you make great points. I also want to say, though, that when you're dealing with teens who are committing these crimes, I'm sorry, but this particular case is a textbook example for why we still need to have a youth jail in King County. So this whole push to shut down our current one is pure lunacy. I want you to listen to what Megan Black with Renton PD said about teen crimes just in the past couple of weeks.
If you look in the last 3 weeks, we have had four incidents, major incidents with juveniles involved, 15 different suspects. All but two are in custody right now. Our officers are working overtime to get this done.
So in King County alone, vehicle theft committed by teens, highest ever on record. Just recently, two brothers, 12 and 13 years old, used a ghost gun to carjack somebody. Teens having guns is on the increase, more than doubled in recent years. And you talked about this sense of hopelessness and a lot of teens with idle hands, not doing a lot, not being involved. And you're absolutely right. That needs to happen. That is one of the key factors. Not having, basically being in a community or a neighborhood where they don't have a lot of support. There's domestic violence, child abuse, insufficient parental supervision, all these things that we talk about, media influence, social media influence.
Right. Right.
Peer pressure, drug and alcohol use. Mm-hmm. Those are all contributing factors. On the other hand, I also think a lack of accountability and this idea that someone who is on home monitoring, I mean, this kid was on home monitoring and still did this.
Yeah.
So this idea of not having a place to actually keep community safe and keep kids basically locked up until, you know, they can do better.
Right.
I just think is pure insanity.
So there's still some stories left on your top stories of the day. And one of the stories, and I don't know when you want to talk about it, but one of the stories has to do with the Renton City Council and the approval of money being allocated to their officers. Now, I just want to just say this. We consistently, and by the way, this is no shot at law enforcement. This is not a shot at them personally. But we constantly have no threshold of how much money we throw at law enforcement and those things. But if just imagine if we took that same mentality and then took some of that money and invested into some of these teens and after school programs and those things. So then we won't need as much of the law enforcement for the crime. So you got to pick and choose now. We need more police.
Does it have to be either or? Why don't we continue our top stories next, in the next segment, and we'll move our discussion about what happened yesterday with the WNBA.
Okay, let's do that.
To 47.
Okay, all right, do the next. Gina Slow.
Ursula Show, our Tuesday morning edition, and we are going to continue with our top stories because we kind of went deep on the first couple, and I think we're going to revisit one of them. But I want to point out, back to Renton, like many other police agencies around the country, Renton is struggling to fill some of its open positions. So the department is now offering $40,000 hiring bonuses for experienced cops. That is double what they were previously offering. It's going to be split into two. And in a statement, Renton PD says it currently only has five vacancies. And while most of the recent hires are from the police academy or are fresh recruits, they say they recognize the value of seasoned officers in rounding out their department, and they hope that bigger bonus will acknowledge the importance of their potential contribution. One of the things that you brought up in our last discussion was, you know, do you spend more money getting more cops to deal with crime, or do you invest in specifically our youth? And you brought up the example of youth sports and how much more expensive, and some people were taking issue with, they got really hung up on the idea that you were saying youth sports is the way to solve this problem. That's not what you were saying.
I also talked about after school activities, period.
Yes.
And I also gave you numbers in sports, how 70% of kids drop out of them.
Yes, which the whole point being, and I think Chris and Ballard got it, and he says, I'm with you, G, diversion earlier on to set kids up with the opportunity to learn valuable life lessons through teamwork, wins, losses, learning opportunities. Doesn't necessarily have to be sports, but music, arts, apprenticeships. That's exactly what you were talking about.
No doubt about it. You know, Ursula, I think that we as a society, we look at law enforcement and we look at them like, hey,
they're going to solve everything.
You got to solve everything. You need to take the cat out of the tree. You need to make sure there's no homicides. You need to do this. You need to do all these things. We look at law enforcement as if they are the fixers.
Yes. It's kind of like teachers, too. Like, fix everything
fix
with our
it.
Kids.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, these kids aren't doing well. Blame the teachers. Or there's too much crime. Oh, my gosh, the cops. What are they doing? Like, let's settle down for a second. We need to do a better job of understanding collectively that we can't just expect law enforcement to fix things. About 3 weeks ago, we had a shooting that was in an area. Law enforcement was everywhere.
In the Seattle Central District.
And in the next block, what happened, Ursula?
Mm-hmm.
Another shooting happened where someone was killed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say police presence would have stopped that. So I just want us to do and say, when we talk about on this show going beneath the surface a little bit on these topics, it is important that we do that. Now, I'm not expecting for anyone to agree with me, but if I can get someone to look at this in a different way, if I can get you to go back to the 80s, I want you to type in Ronald Reagan and how much divestment into social programs that happened in the 80s. I'm not making this up. Look it up for yourself. That was a real thing. And so then we wonder why so many problems occurred after that going into the 90s.
Yeah. And what I think a lot of people want to hear is, well, this is all about gangs and this is all about a lack of the parental unit or the father in the home or the things that make it so why it's not my problem. It's your problem. It's not something that I'm contributing to. It's because of this. Well, why are these things happening? So we're talking about the wage gap. We bring that up. I mean, and crimes of poverty, that's a very real thing. Is that an excuse? No, but that's something that contributes to it. So does a traumatic event or a mental illness or domestic violence, child abuse. So many of those kids that you see going through the juvie system are kids who have seen and grown up seeing violence. Mm-hmm. That's what they know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But conversely, I also don't think give them a free pass and just tell them they can do anything with no consequences.
I agree.
Because that doesn't work either.
I agree with you on that. And like you said, it's so important that, because a lot of times it's just this, okay, we need to start locking them up. Oh, okay, you can hold those accountable. But like you just said, real quick, Ursula, you said, how can we do a better job of preventing? And we specifically are talking about the teen crimes. What is happening that we are seeing such an increase? You cannot solve this by saying when they do the crime, you just lock them up. It's like, well, there's going to be another teen that's going to happen. So why, how can we stop this from happening at record numbers?
Yes. And one of the things is to get your kids engaged. Whether it's sports, whether it's whatever it is, they need to feel, instead of choosing to be in a gang, they choose to be part of a team. That's not that hard.
And by the way, when you guys bring up gangs, like you've talked about in the past, Ursula, everyone wants to be a part of something.
That's right.
So whether it is a team or a gang, still four-letter words, maybe looked at differently. it would be really positive for our youth and teens to be a part of a team. I love that our chef takes his son Matthew and going to baseball games. And I'm quite sure the dads and the parents out there doing those things. But just remember, the kids that are Matthew's age, they are playing sports. But 70% of these kids are done at the age of 13. So then what? We're just expecting for them to just do their homework, go to school. Matter of fact, we had the pandemic where things are even worse now.
Exactly. And if you're convinced, like, this is the breakdown of the nuclear family, or this is the, you know, and that is one aspect. But again, you have to go beyond that and now say, what is it we can do to support that and to make that something that is possible for more families?
Ursula, I'm asking you now. Putting you on the spot. From 13 to 18, were your kids involved in activities after school?
Yes, they were. And even when they were, my youngest in particular somehow still managed to get into trouble. And he was in a two-parent household with grandma fully involved. I'm not putting his business out there, but there were a few things that he did. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Can I say something on this? Because I probably would have been one of those kids who's getting in big trouble. But I had something to lose. A lot of these kids, they got no food in the fridge. There's not enough money to buy them clothes for school. You know, maybe mom's not there, dad's not there. They got a violence problem. These kids got nothing to lose. And there's nothing more dangerous than a desperate person with nothing to lose.
That's true, too.
Ursula, I'm telling you right now, That last 30 seconds, I got so much respect for you. Seriously.
Well, I don't want to.
Would you? No, that right there was a, like, that's real right there.
I know that many parents can relate to what I just said. Like, my kids had everything.
Whoo, that was real.
And they're doing well right now.
Yeah, they're doing really well.
But there were some close calls.
But the reason why it's real is because we don't get that vulnerability out there. And we constantly have the, this is happening because we, you know, the nuclear family, there's no dads in the home, and this is happening. You guys do know that there are kids in homes with everything going great, and things can happen too. So I respect you for that. All right, we need to talk coming up next. Ursula, have you ever met someone that has an AI girlfriend?
Can't say I have.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about that next. Jen Ursula. It's Jen Ursula. Ursula, you having a good time this morning?
I am, actually.
Yeah.
It makes all the difference in the world when you're well-rested.
Woo-wee! Okay. Now, y'all, I have a feeling that you guys are going to make fun of me after this topic. And you can do it all you want to, but AI girlfriends are real. Yeah, that's you driving in the truck right now. You're like, oh, I can't hear G go. Yep. Matter of fact, his name is G. Greg Eisenberg, CEO of Late Checkout, wrote a blog post on X about meeting a man in Miami who admitted that he spends $10,000 a month on AI girlfriends. This was a 24-year-old single man, and Eisenberg says AI girlfriends could become a billion-dollar business. Apps like Romantic AI helps you create the perfect girlfriend with whom you share interests and views. You can talk about everything, get support, and feel needed. Replica, the AI chatbot software, offers users the chance to create their own boyfriend or husband for just a few hundred dollars. Ursula, I know, I was going to say, but I could just see the look on your face. I know your looks. Are you, first of all, is your look something like, are you shocked by this? Do you have the attitude, I can't believe this? Or are you like me, where you're like, I totally understand this and relate?
I don't relate to this because I think that there AI will have uses that make all the sense in the world, but I think AI cannot replicate certain things, and I think one of those is human interrelational things. And boy, that was
can you
really,
clarify?
That was really good.
That's how an AI would describe it.
I know. Let me use AI for this. So you can't replicate human emotions. You cannot get there's something you cannot replicate the human touch. You cannot replicate. I would always know in this case that this is not a real person. This is something that I have created that is geared to give me the answers that I want, not necessarily what is real. So how can you get any sort of satisfaction from that unless you only want to have something that mirrors what you think and does what you want and you have complete control over? Which, you know what? That floats some people's boat. Okay, more power to you. It's not something that I would get satisfaction from. I would feel sorry for someone who says, my girlfriend is a robot. Just like I would, you know, the plastic dummies.
No, you can't call them dummies.
Okay, whatever you call them.
Robots.
You can't call them. The plastic.
Lars and the Real Girl.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Well, like, how do you try to convince someone that that is an upgrade from actually having a person in your life?
Ursula, have you ever been out and about and you've seen a senior guy with a younger gal?
Oh, yes.
You've seen that before, right?
That's people watching in Palm Springs.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're in Palm Springs and you see that. And so you see the senior guy is with the young gal, right? Now, outside of maybe the looks for that senior guy, what are those conversations like for someone that's, let's say, in their 60s and the gal is in her 20s? What kind of discussions can those be? I mean, other than more of the grandpa, young granddaughter discussions, but other than that, there's really no chemistry. What I'm trying to say is I'm giving an argument as to where that senior guy would be better off with an AI girlfriend than he would be with someone 40 years his age.
What does that AI girlfriend look like or AI boyfriend? Liz and Gig Harbor found the words that I was missing. A blow-up doll.
Okay,
yes. Would it be similar to a blow-up doll now?
What happens is that we are turning life into the first thing everybody thinks about is the physical. And if there's one thing I've learned as I start to get older, discussions and conversations are more important than, if you will, like Elliot just texts in, the cuddling sometimes. And so these be some good discussions and conversations. We already know that we are lonely as a society now with social media. We're talking to people less. There's a lot more people that are lonely.
I think that's a problem. Tell me, when you are asked to interact with AI when it comes to, like, you're trying to track down what's wrong with your airline ticket or some other problem, they say, can I help you? Mm-hmm. And you see the dot, 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 and you start interacting. Do you get satisfaction from that? Or do you think, okay, this is not cool, and if I ask any question that's out of the realm of what is programmed here, they're not going to be able to answer. That's what I would think it would be like to have an AI relationship.
Yeah, it's getting better. I would want someone, Ursula, to do AI girlfriends than to try to take up some of their idle time with doing recreational drugs. Maybe those discussions will help them stay away from binge drinking and alcohol and late nights. They can just come home and they can have that AI discussions, and they are discussions catered to them. So everything they say, the other person laughs. Oh my God, Harold, you are so funny. Sometimes Harold wants to be told he's funny, Ursula. Harold hasn't been told he's been funny in 30 years.
If that's what floats your boat, more power to you. I think I'm going to make it through my life without an AI relationship.
Okay, last point I want to ask you, since you're a good judge of character. Let's say a senior friend that you have named Harold, And Harold has one of two things. Would you judge Harold more for having a 25-year-old girlfriend or judge Harold more for having an AI girlfriend? Which one would you judge Harold the most for?
I don't know. I'm going to say probably the AI girlfriend, because again, it's not human.
I'm judging Harold for the 25-year-old. Harold, you in your 60s, you got a 25-year-old girlfriend.
60s?
I'm judging Harold.
Really old?
No, I'm not saying it's old.
To be dating a 20-year-old?
To be dating a 25-year-old, yes. I would rather Harold have an AI girlfriend than to have a 25-year-old girlfriend. Because I think something's up with you, Harold. You're strange, fam.
Text us, Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-KYRA. Did you ever think that you were going to have a conversation about AI girlfriends?
Here we are today. Did you ever think you'd be doing a radio show with somebody like me? Probably not. But here we are. Coming up next here on the Gian Ursula Show, Chris Sullivan is going to join us, and he wants to talk about the I-405 expansion. All right, we can do that next. Gian Ursula.